Dating should be exciting, filled with curiosity, fun, and a growing sense of connection. But if you've struggled with boundaries in the past or found yourself repeatedly in relationships that drain you, you might unknowingly be attracting or being attracted to codependent dynamics. So today we'll break down what codependency looks like in dating, how to spot the red flags early before you went too deep, and the subtle ways someone might be trampling your boundaries that you should not ignore. You're going to learn, of course, actionable tools to create healthier connections, build confidence in your boundaries, and avoid relationships that pull you into an unhealthy cycle of overgiving, rescuing, or feeling responsible for someone else's happiness. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a practicing psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 35 years of experience helping people just like you. Join me as I teach you actionable tips and strategies to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm laughing right now because if you're watching me on YouTube, I have a red shirt that I wore today, not even knowing what I was going to be recording today. And here I am talking about red flags. So I feel like I did that really well. See how your subconscious works? I don't know, because I don't think these things are coincidences. Anyway, so welcome back. And I have to tell you, I have a lot of clients who date, right? Who aren't married. I have a lot of single clients also, or clients who are divorced, going back in the dating world. And I am amazed at how often, I shouldn't be amazed. That's why they're seeing me. But it's often that I have to point out that something is a boundary, that they're dating. I'm like, this person sounds really unhealthy. They keep trampling your boundaries. They keep whatever. And they're not seeing it. Like, they don't notice it. And when I point it out and we explain it, they go, oh my gosh, you know. But so I really felt like today would be a great episode to really go deep on this for you to get things that I share with my clients all the time. All right. So let's first start with understanding codependency. We can't really go much farther without talking about that. Right. Because then we'll talk about red flags. Codependency isn't just about being clingy or needy, because that's what I hear the most. You know, that's what people sort of think it is. And yes, it can look like those things, but at its core, really, codependency is about a loss of self in relationships, romance, family, friendships. That's how it work. That's what's really happening. You have a loss of you, where your sense of self-worth is tied to another person's happiness, to their approval, or to their well-being, which is probably why you're not speaking up when someone pushes your boundaries, because you're so outwardly focused. And it's why you end up with people-pleasing, ignoring your own feelings, or ignoring your gut instincts, and worrying too much about what another person thinks instead of focusing on how they're treating you, because that's the most important thing. So I'm including an entire playlist of episode at the end of this post, right? Or the end of this episode, depending on if you're reading this on the blog, you know, wherever you're seeing this. If you know that this is an issue for you, I'm going to highly recommend making that playlist a priority to listen to, or again, or you can read the corresponding blog post. You can do whichever one you want. So there's episodes on fawning, which is like codependency on crack. There's trauma bonding, how to stop people pleasing. I mean, I have I don't know, I think there's eight in there. So I really, again, if you're watching me on YouTube, you can find it below the video. Otherwise, and for all the any research I mention, anything else, any resources, and I have a great giveaway today too, anything you can find on my website, abbymetcalf.com, under this episode, which will always show up on the podcast page. And again, I always write a corresponding blog. So in case you don't want to listen to the whole episode again, or if this episode feels really good to you, but you have a partner or someone else who would never, or a sister or whatever, who doesn't want to listen to a podcast, would rather read, you can just send them to the blog. So all that's on the website. And I give all the links and all that are to be found there, just find this episode, which, you know, you can always do. So, and I want to say too, that today I'll be shifting the narrative back and forth, because it might be you who's codependent in the relationship. It might be the other person who's acting in this way or trampling boundaries, or both. So I will shift back and forth, and hopefully that'll sort of cover every base. So I want to talk about origins of codependency first. You know, codependent patterns usually stem from early life experiences. So if you grew up in a home where you had to like earn love by being helpful or self-sacrificing, if you grew up in a home where you had a parent or caregiver who was emotionally unstable, unpredictable, maybe struggled with addiction or mental health issues, if you grew up in a home where you were rewarded for suppressing your own needs in favor of keeping the peace, that's I have a big hand up for that. If you experienced trauma or dysfunction, we also call these adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, A-C-E, adverse childhood experiences. If any of that, then codependency may feel familiar, is what I guess I would say, or even comfortable, but it doesn't mean it's healthy, or I want to say right. I don't want to put things in right or wrong. Let's just say healthy. It doesn't mean it's healthy. And I have an amazing kind of, you know, I keep doing these masterclass bundles now because I do them for my Patreon. So I have like a masterclass bundle on this topic to help you figure out and overcome your core issues. And there's journaling prompts. There's a script library for hard conversations. There's a guided meditation to strengthen your boundaries when dating. There's a red flag tracker sheet and more. That's just a few of the things. So if you're a member of my online Patreon community, the One Love Collective, we are having so much fun over there. If you haven't joined, I'm not sure what you're waiting on. It's so good. But anyway, these items are all included in the different tiers I offer. There's three tiers. But if you don't want to join, you know, if you just feel like that's a commitment you don't want to make, you can get everything for just $8. So at the very end, I'll list all the things included so you can decide if it's right for you. But no matter what, I have an amazing free giveaway for you today. It's 25 boundaries and self-worth affirmations. Again, you know all the places you can get them now. And again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can find it below. And please, you know, like and subscribe. It's a great way to support me. Leave a comment. I also really love to read the comments. So do that. And if you're, you know, listening anywhere else, it would be wonderful if you left a review, if you can do that. You know, downloaded the podcast, become a follower, any of those things, or on social media are great ways if you're trying to, you know, we're in a reciprocal relationship, you and I, and it does not mean you have to spend a penny. You know, I've always made that commitment to you. You will get amazing, amazing quality, and you do not have to spend a penny, because that's what I'm here for ultimately. And it is very nice to support me and not just sort of receive and take. So again, you can just do things that support me in other ways besides spending money. Or yeah, you can buy yourself a mug on the website or a t-shirt, or, you know, you can do all these other things to support me also, which is lovely. But, you know, choose your support. So let's talk about the consequences of codependent relationships. Now, in dating, codependency, this is what I see in my clients. It leads to feeling responsible for someone else's emotions and actions. You can have a consequence, losing a sense of personal identity within the relationship. How many of you have done that? You know, you stop talking to your friends, this person becomes your personality, you know, and you start doing the things they like to do and not the things you like to do. Becoming overly reliant on external validation, ignoring or minimizing your personal needs to maintain the relationship. So, you know, when left unchecked, codependency, it fosters resentment, emotional exhaustion. There's an imbalanced power dynamic that's really not cool and very unhealthy, which makes it ultimately difficult to establish a truly healthy, again, reciprocal relationship. And I'm, you know, again, I use that word a lot, reciprocal relationships, because no matter what, you have to think of it this way. And I struggle with this. I want to be really clear. This is probably my hardest thing. You know, my kids always joke that my tombstone's going to say, you know, it's okay, I've got it. Because I have trouble asking for help. I have trouble with the reciprocity because of how I was raised and this idea that relationships are very transactional and I have to sort of prove myself or overgive to be worthy of love. And all the therapy I've had, all the rehabs I've gone to, all my years of being off drugs, all the things don't, you know, I don't struggle with it so deep anymore. You know, I've really come a long way. I used to be just the worst, in case you're trying to think that you're the worst. I was. It's not a competition, but I would win. It's just so, so bad at this. And again, it's not my first instinct to be, you know, I want to do for others. I'm not always comfortable with them doing for me. But I, again, trying to be better at it. And that's, it's one of the things I model on the podcast. Again, even if I want you to see that, like, you shouldn't just be taking information. You should be supporting me too. We're in a relationship. I see it that way. I want you to see it that way. That is what I think makes us special and makes this different. And so that's why I model that. That's, it is, it's, you know, so again, you can do things that are free to be supportive, or you can spend money to be supportive, but being understanding it's reciprocal is very important. And I would say that for all your online relationships, where you're gaining information or, you know, getting stuff, at least stop and like a video of the person or something, you know, subscribe to their channel or whatever, or, you know, follow them. Think about when you're getting information a lot from someone. It's really nice. I know I often will spend money somewhere just because I want to support the person in some way. I think, God, I've gotten so much out of this channel or this person or whatever, and they do everything, you know, pretty low cost. I want to do something to support them, even if I don't like need or want the thing, or I feel like I've already gotten the thing. Because again, that's how I see that all. So think of that in all your relationships. If you're dating someone and nothing feels reciprocal right away, you're already in trouble. And that's, again, from this codependency generally in some way. So, or it could be from your own entitlement or other things. We'll get there. So let's talk about how all this shows up in dating and early on in relationships, right? So the early phases of relationship dating, codependency, I see it manifesting in ways that don't immediately seem problematic. And that's where it gets really dangerous. So again, overfunctioning, feeling responsible for helping or fixing someone instead of focusing on mutual growth. So you or they might even enjoy this and say things like, oh, it makes me feel so good to do for them, right? That's, again, okay to a point. But there's some other space where you really have to look at that. Again, if that's the only thing that's happening, right? It's where things get a little weird. Fear of conflict, you know, walking on eggshells or avoiding honest conversations to keep things light or to keep things smooth, and really it's to ensure that they keep liking you. That's really the reason you don't say anything. Or again, from like a history in your family of like, oh, let it go, let it go, let it go. I was the let it go queen. I still, again, have an easier personality that way. There's a lot of things that just don't bother me that are easy to let go for me, but there's other things that are a hard, like a clear, not a hard no. Sorry, you know, I don't like to say that. An enlightened no, a very aligned no right away. Right away, I'm very clear about it. So the other dangers are losing yourself, of course, in the relationship, prioritizing their needs, their hobbies, their friends, their opinions, and yours sort of fade into the background. Needing constant reassurance, right? Constant reassurance seeking. And again, that could be you, could be them. Feeling anxious if the other person doesn't immediately, you know, validate you, text you back, give you affection, say the same thing you said. Oh, I really enjoy spending time with you, if you're not at the I love yous yet, right? You know, that you want all that. You're saying these things that you're kind of fishing probably. And when you leave these things unchecked, when you don't, you know, kind of do a pull-up, we would say, about this, these patterns usually lead to really unhealthy relationship dynamics where you're doing all the emotional labor, and that's a big problem. And then you end up complaining about it later. That's what I find a lot. I have I'll say to someone, you know, who's now married to this person or engaged, or they finally move in together, and they're like, oh, they never do this, or they don't do that, or I don't understand, they think I'm their mate or whatever. And I'm like, you know, you set this up. You set this up from the beginning in all these different ways. I've been with you while you, you know, ignored your own needs and didn't ask for things and did for them. And, you know, and now you're complaining about it. You co-created this relationship. So you created what's here. You co-created what's here. You allowed things that you didn't think were connected. You thought that was different. That's why I'm telling you these things are dangerous, because it never occurred to you that being really nice to them in the beginning meant that they would take, you know, decide they didn't have to do things later in the relationship, but it's exactly what it is. And I want to be really clear, this idea of being nice when your boundaries, I talk about this in my book, Boundaries Made Easy, and in the workbook that's out. Do you know that the workbook is out? Boundaries Made Easier, the workbook. I talk about it a lot in there, that how we just allow our boundaries to get trampled, and we think it's quote unquote nice to be more enmeshed and more giving, and it's not, because you talk crap about this person later, you complain, you're upset, you're drained. That's not nice. You're just being codependent. You're being codependent. It's not nice. Codependency is fear based. True niceness or kindness, I would say, get rid of the word nice. I don't even know what that means. True kindness is love-based, not fear-based. So there's, I'm going to mention three codependency red flags that I see the most in dating profiles and I hear the most in early conversations, okay? Because I will look at dating profiles sometimes with my clients. Yes, that's sometimes what we do, because I'm trying to help them see what they should be looking for or not looking for, or what's a red flag or what's not. And once you kind of get the hang of it, it's like, oh yeah, that's a problem. So let's talk about some red flags, okay? Because sometimes those first hints of codependency show up in, again, the most subtle ways before you even meet in person. Okay. So these are things to watch for in dating profiles or those early, you know, getting to know you chats. Okay. These are things to watch for. Number one, the first top thing is oversharing about past relationships or personal struggles. And I'm going to take a sip of my water. Hold on. Okay. When someone spills their deepest secrets and wounds within the first few conversations, it's not a sign of deep emotional connection. No, I know you're like, oh, we talked all night. No, you should not be talking all night. That's not, you're being unhealthy and they're being unhealthy. It's trauma bonding. That's on my list down there. If it's not trauma bonding, it's some other unhealthy thing. I'll tell you that. It's not a sign of deep emotional connection. It's a sign of blurred emotional boundaries. It's a sign of poor boundaries. It means that one or both of you were raised in homes where there was something wrong with the boundaries, where you grew up in a family that was really enmeshed and you just think this is natural to talk about everything, to have word vomit all the time and just be doing everything right away. And you haven't learned how to not do that. Or you even grew up in a home where none of that happened. The boundaries were so thick where nobody talked about anything and you vowed to make it different, but you've swung too far on the pendulum the other way. Okay. So those red flags, you know, trauma dumping, you know, when people are sharing details of an ex's betrayal, if they're going into some deep conversation about and how mad they are at an ex, right away, by the way, I'd be like, red flag, you know, they're still very attached to this person. Or if they even just say the words, but then don't go into detail right away, not good. Because that's how they're going to be talking about you later. or sharing a really painful childhood experience or personal crises before any real trust has been established. You cannot establish real trust because you haven't known them long enough. So 3 day, I don't care if you spend all day together for 3 days, that is not time to develop real trust. It is not. I'm sorry. I know you feel like it's so special, and it's special in a bad way. It's special in, again, a trauma bonding, like a way that things come together in a not good way. I know it feels good. You know what also feels good? Drinking. You know, just drinking every day would feel good, but you don't do that. Eating a pint of Ben and Jerry's every day would feel very good to me. I have to tell you, I would love to do that every single day. But I know that there would be some negative consequences for that. Just because it feels good doesn't mean I should be doing it, right? There's like half the things I want to do feel good and I shouldn't be doing them, right? So it feels good to like spend thousands of dollars on a designer bag, but should I be doing that every day? No. Like, think. You know this is true. You don't like hearing it. I am here. I'm your bossy Jewish mother right now. I am here because I love you. And I got to tell you, stop. You got to stop with this stuff. If you want to be happy, if you want to truly have an authentic, healthy relationship on the other side, you can't start in these unhealthy ways. Playing the victim role. If you see this, big red flag. A pattern, you know, of somehow where the other person is describing themselves as always being used or hurt in past relationships. If they're, every story they tell, they're kind of the victim and things are happening to them. And this might be you talking in this way. Not healthy. Not healthy. Codependent. Poor boundaries. Not good. If there, another red flag is testing your empathy really soon. So seeing how quickly you respond with comfort or advice or reassurance, you know, that's again, not healthy. Okay. Or if you're doing it to them, not healthy. The second big flag I see is this, what I call kind of the savior mentality or the fixer mentality. Because codependency really thrives in dynamics where one person positions themselves as the rescuer, as the savior, as the fixer. And some phrases that should signal red flags in dating profiles or messages or, you know, DMs or texting when it comes to this, or something like, you know, oh, I just need someone who won't give up on me. I've been through so much. Most people can't handle it. I heard that recently from a client. I was terrified. I want to take care of my partner completely. I'm just looking for someone I can take care of. I mean, right there. Yeah, I know. It sounds sweet, right? But it's really an unhealthy level of enmeshment. No one should be saying that right out the door. What are you talking about? Like, that's what you want in a relationship? It's just to take care of someone else? So you're telling me you have low self-esteem. You're telling me you don't think much of yourself. You're telling me that love is transactional to you. And by the way, if that's how they're talking, that's what they're going to think is the other way. Also, they're going to be very transactional with love. Again, I know you're like, Abby, this is terrible. What are you talking about? This is how I've had every relationship, or I think you're wrong. I'm not wrong. I don't know what else to tell you. I'm not wrong about this. And the more you might be pushing back right now, I would say, again, listen like you're wrong right this minute. Just listen like you're wrong and ask the questions. Be curious. Don't be defensive right now. You might decide later I'm wrong, but I need you to be curious first. If you're open and curious and then later decide I'm full of it, I get like, okay. All right. But you need to be, if you're defensive right now or feeling like this is all BS that I'm saying, then I would say this applies strongly to you. I say with love, you know, it's love, 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 love. And the third red flag I would say to really look out for is love bombing or affection flooding. affection flooding disguises enthusiasm. So back in episode, I looked it up. It's 234. I taught you all about the 7 stages of trauma bonding. And I don't want to cough in your face. So I'm going to sip water again. I taught you all about the 7 stages of trauma bonding back again. I'm going to list that episode. And stage 1 is love bombing. Okay. And that's an area that gets a lot of attention. Love bombing is when right away you have a deep, intense connection with someone. Everything from, you know, the hours long conversations to the amazing sex. This is when one or both people are completely focused on winning the affection, the attention, the love of the other person. And there's often like grand displays with extravagant dates or gifts, right? And a lot of the time, love bombing, that phrase is attached to narcissists or to trauma bonding or to narcissism. And there's really like a sinister character to the way it's described, as in a narcissist will initially love bomb to get you, but will then start gaslighting and trying to control you, you know, once they've gotten you, right? So, and in all my years of experience, I've definitely seen love bombing like this, okay, for sure. But there's something else I see more commonly, and that's when someone is looking for validation from someone else, thus doing all the things that look like love bombing, but it's not narcissism. It's from a lack of self-worth and codependency. It's coming from a place of not feeling worthy of someone else's love unless you're doing for them, you know, really doing that. And I coined a term called affection flooding. That's what I call it. And I did an episode on that, which I'll link to on this. And affection flooding suggests that the codependent person is like engulfing their partner or the other person with an avalanche of affection, of attention. And again, it's driven by this deep-seated need for validation and external affirmation. So it can include, you know, grand gestures like, you know, the gifts, the vacations, saying I love you, you know, with a skywriting plane, or always treating for dinners, you know, planning amazing dates. There's still an intense and overwhelming experience, just like love bombing. But again, the root cause of the behavior is codependency, all right? You or the other person is seeking excessive reassurance from the partner and flooding them with affection and attention to, again, fill this void of low self-worth and this kind of over-reliance on external sources for feeling good, okay? So again, the actions are really driven by a deep-seated need for validation rather than some grandiose sense of self-importance that we see with narcissistic love bombing. I just want to be really clear. So there's a difference between someone being genuinely excited about getting to know you and someone overwhelming you with intensity right away. Okay? Just, you know. Okay? So you got to watch for those grand sweeping statements early on. I just had a client say something the other day. Wait. Something like, I can already tell you're different from anyone else I've met, right? This date feels really different than any other date. Anything like that, run for the hills. Possessive energy before commitment. So something like, I don't like the idea of you talking to other people on dating apps, you know, when you've only had a few dates, or even going to like the boyfriend-girlfriend thing, or whatever you want to call yourselves, the partner thing, the boyfriend-boyfriend thing, girlfriend-girlfriend thing, whatever, the partner thing, you know, after just a few dates or one long weekend together. Other red flags are like a quick escalation of the intimacy. I don't just mean sex right away. I mean emotional closeness intimacy. Like, oh, I feel like I've known you forever. I can't imagine my life without you already in just the first few weeks. Run. Terrible. Not good. Unhealthy. I know you're like right now, you're just sitting there like, Abby, you're killing me. Because you've been here. If you're listening right now, you've been here. You've either been the one saying it or the other person has been the one saying it. And sure enough, you're still here because those things have fallen apart and just with disastrous consequences, with, you know, crashed and burned later. Because you didn't pay attention. You were just in the moment of how good something felt. But just like with other things that feel really good in the moment, you've got to step back. I mean, maybe you're that same person who's, you know, I don't know, chain smoking cigarettes and drinking, you know, first thing in the morning and I don't know, eating donuts all day. I don't know. Are you that person? I doubt it. So there's definitely other places where things feel good and you sort of, you know, are able to counter that somehow and understand, like, I know that feels good, but that's really bad for me. I need you to feel it here. I think with physical things, it's a little easier because you can see the pounds go on, right? You can be looking in the mirror and like, my pants don't fit, right? Well, think of this as the same. Your pants aren't fitting. Like, this isn't good. It's not good. Okay. There's also red flags that show up in messages. I've had many a message written to me, said to me in a session, you know, a client reading from their texting on their phone or the DMs or whatever. So once conversations begin, you got to look for additional warning signs of those codependent tendencies. So again, the constant need for validation. So here's one. Someone who's frequently asking questions like, do you think I'm a good person? Or do you still like me after that? After I said whatever? Oh, my favorite. You're not mad at me, are you? You're not mad at me, right? And again, this might be you. You might be listening, kind of cringing because these are things you do either way. If any of that is happening, this is someone struggling with self-worth and again, relying on external reassurance. Not good. The other thing to look for, another red flag, excessive apologies or self-deprecation, just excessive, right? So if they apologize all the time for small things, oh, I'm sorry for texting you. I hope I'm not bothering you. Again, probably signaling some low self-esteem or fear of disapproval. A big red flag that you probably do know is controlling or manipulative messaging, you know? So you should watch for behaviors like if they're getting upset, if you don't reply quickly, or if they get passive aggressive when you don't reply quick enough. Expecting constant check-ins or immediate responses in any way. When they try to make you feel guilty for setting a boundary, right? Oh, I guess I'm not that important to you. I'm just not that important to you. I didn't realize, I guess I thought, you know, you really liked me. That kind of BS. Yeah. So let me, this is what happens. I have so many things I want to say. Let's talk about some subtle boundary trampling you shouldn't ignore. Let me go into that right now, because sometimes boundary violations don't show up as dramatic red flags, right? They just sort of creep in subtly in ways that are really easy to dismiss until they become overwhelming or until they be, right? They suddenly become this whole other thing. Another sip of water. So if you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
I would
say some of these obviously overlap, but you get where I'm going here. I want you to like hear it and how it can show up in a few different ways. So again, testing your availability. They expect you to be instantly responsive to things, to texts, and they seem frustrated if you take your time, or if you're at work all day and you're like, I was at work. Well, didn't you have a break at work? You didn't have any breaks all day. I was trying to figure out, you know, if we were still meeting tonight. This is another client. He was meeting a woman. They had set up the date and they'd already been on 2 dates and he had shown up on time. She had shown up on time, not a problem. And they were going on their third date and she was checking in during the day to like confirm it, but they had talked the day before. They had confirmed it the day before, but then during the day, she's like, just making sure we're still on for tonight, you know? And he's like, he didn't even see it because he's working all day. He's somebody who stays off his phone during the day. He's not checking in. And then he's checking his email at some point and he's got an email from her. You know, you haven't returned my text. I don't understand if I'm supposed to get ready for tonight. You know, I have plan, you know, I have to make my own schedule too. It's not just about you. And she got really mad at him. And I said to him, I'm like, run for the hills. I'm telling you right now, run for the hills. Like, and of course, though, she, you know, she was really hot and he was really into her and he was whatever. And I will tell you, I'm like, it's going to, and sure enough, they've been, it's bad. I can see it. I see it coming down the pike. Even with me as his wonderful, wonderful therapist, coachy person, he is struggling with ending it. And he's saying, I know I should. I know I should. Like, I get it. Like, she's really, you know, and he's like, oh, she's crazy. I'm like, she's not crazy. She's just unhealthy. She, and if you want though, check the boundaries on this. I'll give that to you in the suggestions later, but you know, that's the point. Don't just keep allowing it to happen. But if they're repeatedly checking in on like on your whereabouts or your plans, again, even before a relationship is official, but even after it is, it shouldn't be a constant checking in, a constant, that's again, a lot of insecurity, and insecurity never is not part of a love relationship. Okay. Insecurity is not from love. Right? Checking on you is not because they love you. It's because they're insecure and that's fear-based. Another red flag is ignoring small no's. So I see this a lot early. You say you can't talk right now, but they keep pushing. Oh, really? Not just for a minute. I just need 2 minutes, right? You mentioned needing personal space and they joke about how you don't really mean it. That was another one I had recently. They show up at your workplace or home unannounced after you've told them you prefer planned visits. I often see this after people have been dating a while. All of a sudden, they're showing up more and more. It's like they kept it together for the first month of dating, and then they can't anymore. You've told them, one of my favorites, you told them you need to leave at a certain time, but they push you for you to stay later. So you're on a date, maybe you're even at their place and you're like, you know, I got to leave by 10. I have an early morning tomorrow. And then it's 10 and like, oh, come on, just stay another hour. Just stay. And it's like, again, people often mistake this kind of behavior for a compliment. Oh, they like me. They want to stay, but it's a warning, not a compliment. It's a warning, not a compliment. You said I have to, if they really cared about you and not themselves, and you said I have to leave by 10 because I got to wake up early and I'm a mess when I don't, and they push you, they are telling you, I don't care about you, I care about me. Because if they really liked you, they would be actually reminding you at 10 o'clock, oh my, you know, I really love hanging out with you, it's so good, but you said you need to leave by 10, I really think you should. I want you to have a good day tomorrow, we have, you know, plenty of time we can hang in the future. And I want to make sure that you're, you know, I want to, that's taking care of someone in a healthy way. That is, right, being there for them in a healthy way. And do you see what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Okay. Another red flag is making their emotions your responsibility, right? They say things like, oh, I just feel really off today, but, you know, don't worry about me. Or they subtly try to guilt you for not being as emotionally invested as they are at the time. Another big red flag, you know, when their moods are unpredictable and you find yourself constantly adjusting your behavior to like keep them happy, it's a problem. Another big red flag, and this bleeds into something I've already said, but is pushing for more than you're comfortable with. If someone keeps insisting on meeting sooner than you're ready, something like that, right? If they press you for more personal details than you feel comfortable sharing, if they press for sex or more time with you when you've been clear that you need more time before spending more time together, before having sex or before, you know, having a blowjob or whatever. If you've said that already, men are laughing right now going, I never need more time for a blowjob. I know, I see you. But you know what I mean? Like they shouldn't be pressing. They should be checking in, asking questions, seeing how you feel or waiting for you to take the lead on those things. If you're the one who's drawn the boundaries. Another red flag is when they dismiss your preferences. If you say something like, you know, I'm not a big texter, but they bombard you with messages anyway. If they ignore when you express needing space, right? These are problems. These are problems. Another red flags is obviously, which I've said, is testing your limits. You know, they might say, oh, come on, just this once, you know, if you decline something, you don't really mean that, do you? You don't really mean that when you assert a boundary. Or you assert a boundary and then there's a slightly different situation and they trample the boundary. Like, oh, I didn't think you meant that all the time. You know, like, yeah, you know, it's a problem. They're not thinking of you first. They're thinking of themselves. So, and again, these things might feel small at first, but over time, they start to chip away at your ability to maintain your boundaries. And that's the real danger, because then you feel like you can't, and you can always go back, by the way, but you feel like you can't because you've been allowing it to go on for so long. And they are getting more and more invested in you because this is the person they like, the person that doesn't hold boundaries, the person that's really codependent, the person that, right, that's who they like. So they're going to keep loving you and showing you, and you're going to get all their best stuff because they want to keep you. They want to keep testing you to make sure that you're really hooked, that kind of thing, which again is really sick and we don't want any part of that. So let's get to it. Here's my top three healthy communication and boundary tools, right? Because recognizing red flags is one thing, actually knowing what to do about them is another. So, and let me just say this first. You know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say, if you've been here with me, what's always my first action step? What's always my first tip? As always, you've got to be what? Mindful and aware in your moments that things are happening. This means you've got to keep up with your mindfulness practices. Yeah. If you have not downloaded my free mindfulness starter kit by now, I don't know what to say to you. Okay. If you're new here, please go download my free mindfulness starter kit. And for anyone, whenever you download anything of mine that's free, you will be put on my Love Bites list, which is a twice per month love letter. I call them Love Bites because they come twice per month. I don't sell anything in the love letter. People love getting these Love Bites, these little bites of love that I send. They're little stories or something meant to inspire you or have you think differently. They are not, it's really just meant to help you. There's no ulterior motive I have. If you want to get it weekly, you can pay $1.99 a month or $19.99 prepay for the year. But see if you like it first, you know, gets twice a month. So you will be put on that list because I automatically, if you download something for free, you have to put in your email, that's where you go. If you don't want to be on it, just unsubscribe. There's tens of thousands of people on there. I'm not going to notice if you unsubscribe. It is okay. So, right? It's all good. It's all good. We're all love here. We're all love here. So as part of being mindful, as you have to stop before any interaction, before any text, date, call, and you have to take a minute to make sure you're off of autopilot and you're aware in the present moment, because in this way, you will better notice if anything is off. Because when you're on autopilot, you'll ignore a lot of things, right? You'll ignore things. You're on autopilot. It's only later that you go, that was weird, you know, right? So you want to notice in the beginning. You want to notice right in the moment so you can talk to it, speak to it in the moment, because that's the best thing. All right. So number one, see, that's really like four tips already, but I'm going to give you three more. One is you need to set your boundaries and your expectations early and clearly. So if someone's texting constantly and expecting immediate responses, you need to talk about that, you know, what their expectations should be. You need to lower their expectations right there. I love chatting with you, but I don't check my phone all day. I just want to set that expectation now, and I will never do that. I am never going to be that person. So if that's something you need, I'm not your person. Boom, done. If they push for deep emotional conversations too quickly, right? Again, if they're trying to really go, you know, I really enjoy getting to know you. It's been pleasurable. I enjoy getting to know you. And I like to take my time with these kinds of talks. Again, you know, it's okay if they're not that person, but then you're not for them and they're not for you. Done. I wouldn't like use that as a threat all the time. When if you don't like it, then you're not for me. You know, it's not about that. It's more just being clear. And if they, again, push, then you can say something like, you know, even right here, you're pushing. I'm telling you what I need. I'm telling you where I'm at and you're pushing. That doesn't work for me. That's it. That doesn't work for me. There you go. See, notice I'm just silent. It's hard to be silent on the podcast. You're like, is this thing on? All right. So, and you have to follow through with your limits that you set. If someone doesn't respect a limit or a boundary, you've got it. You can reaffirm it. You know, I always say, don't repeat your boundaries. You can reaffirm it, I get, because this isn't always a boundary. It's just like a limit, you know, an expectation that you're setting up. But do not repeat this over and over. That's it. If they continue to do whatever it is, you have to consider whether they're a good fit for you. And again, I know it might not feel good. I know you might be going, oh, but I don't want it. And I've already invested a few dates and I really like them. And is this such a big deal? And you start to minimize it. You do that at your own peril, because it will come and bite you in the ass later. This behavior, if you allow it now, it's going to continue the rest of the relationship. Guaranteed. 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 Believe people when they show you who they are. It doesn't mean that they're wrong or bad, by the way. It doesn't mean this person's a terrible human. There's no need to get angry at them. It means that they need something different. You're not a good fit. Do not give people multiple chances early on. Stop doing that. Believe people when they show you who they are. Okay? Again, the Boundaries Made Easier workbook or the Boundaries Made Easy book or search boundaries on my website. You'll find a ton of free stuff. What I really want to focus on here is this. You have to listen to your gut. You have to notice your feelings and trust them. Again, I did a whole episode on how to know how to follow your gut instincts. And I'll link to that in that playlist. But for example, after speaking with them, take a beat, close your eyes, check in with how you're feeling. In my experience, people know there's something off or fear-based, but they ignore it and they don't trust what their gut is telling them. And that's a huge mistake. If you keep ignoring that niggly voice in your head, the little feeling, you'll continue to date this person. You're going to get more and more invested. And that makes it that much more difficult to end things later. Stop. I know people are like, oh, it's early on. Why don't I give them another chance? Because this is why. Because you already know. You already know. Again, it's not a judgment. This is your preference is I don't like to text all day. Your preference is I want to be with someone who has healthy emotional boundaries, ones that match mine. These are your preferences and you're allowed them. It's okay that they don't meet them. They are allowed to be who they are. They're not wrong or bad because of it. Stop judging them. Stop judging yourself. Just notice, be in the moment, step back. That's what I'm asking you to do. You're getting all in your head and all ahead. No, I'm being too judgmental and I'm being too this and I'm being too that. No, trust the little voice. Trust it. Trust it. Listen in or at least question the little voice. Go, hey, why are you upset? Why are you going off right now? What's happening? Explore. Be curious about your inner voice, your gut, the niggly feeling. Be curious. What does this remind you of? I bet it reminds you of your family of origin some way. I bet it reminds you of past relationships that didn't work. I bet it reminds you of your ex. I bet it reminds you of your dad or your mom or someone. I bet. I know. Okay. The second thing you can do is watch for how they react to boundaries, right? Someone with healthy relationship boundaries will respect them right away. When you name your expectations or your boundaries, they'll respect them. They won't take it personally. They won't have an issue with it. They'll be like, oh, okay. Oh, I usually like texting, but all right, you don't like that? Cool. That's it. That's how it'll go. Someone with codependent tendencies might get defensive or even angry. Oh, well, I guess you just don't care as much as I do, right? They might push back. Well, I just don't believe in playing games. I like to be all in. That kind of thing. They might try to guilt trip you. I just feel like no one ever makes time for me. They might play the poor me card. Oh, I can never find someone who really wants me, right? That kind of stuff. My nose itches. Any of that stuff. If this happens, don't rationalize it. Don't rationalize it away. Trust what you're seeing. Again, so the free download I'm offering with this episode, 25 Boundaries and Self-Worth Affirmations, I did that purposely because I think it'll really help you when you feel yourself getting sucked in to unhealthy relationship dynamics or, you know, getting sucked into old patterns. That's why I created that for this episode, okay? I know. I love you. Here I am. Here I am loving you. That's right. The third actionable strategy I would give you is to prioritize self-check-ins, okay? I have a lot of people who just don't do this. Codependency thrives in relationships where you lose touch with yourself. So you need to regularly ask yourself some questions, again, especially early on, especially right at that initial burst of, you know, excitement or attachment or attraction or whatever it is. Ask yourself, am I overfunctioning? Am I taking on responsibilities that aren't mine? Am I sacrificing my own needs to keep the other person happy? Am I feeling anxious when I don't get constant validation from them? Am I just looking for that back and back and back? Do I stare at my phone all day hoping for a text back? How do I feel after conversations or time together? This is a big one I'm going to do this with a second question, okay? So how do I feel after conversations or time together? Really think, step back and go, oh, you know, when we're together, you know, I always feel a little anxious, or I'm always on a high when we're together. It's incredible. It's the best thing ever. That scares me, terrifies me. I'm just letting you know. Or the other, you know, well, afterwards I'm a little drained. I feel like I've been like, you know, whatever for so long. I'm anxious. I'm a little depressed. Some people get depressed. And then I want you to ask yourself, how do I feel when we're apart? Because often it will shift dramatically when you're apart. Oh, I feel a little more at ease when we're apart. I feel more relaxed. I'm noticing how I feel on a daily basis is more relaxed. That's a problem. Or when you're apart, when you feel like so in love when you're together, but as soon as you're apart, you feel devastated, you feel alone, you feel anxious, you feel worried, you're jealous, maybe you're insecure. Do you hear me? You already know the answer, right? You already know the answer? You already know the answer. You already know this is a problem. That's why it's good to do these check-ins. So if you notice these patterns creeping in, you got to pull back and realign with your needs. You have to realign with your needs if you notice any of this. Okay. Is that everything I want to say? I think that's everything I want to say. If you want to stay with me till the end, I'll tell you everything that is in the kind of masterclass bundle for this episode, or if you're just interested in what Patreon is getting that you're not, you know, if you're interested in maybe joining or not, I'll talk about that in a minute. If you don't care about any of that, just remember to download the 25 Boundaries and Self-Worth Affirmations for free today. I think they're really going to help you. I did them with a lot of care and thought in mind for you. And I love you and have an amazing, amazing week. And for those of you staying, let's talk about it. Let's talk. We're alone now. Let's chat. So there's three levels, of course, to my Patreon. There's the tier one, and you can look up what all the benefits are for each level because it's beyond what these giveaways are, right? There's other things that all the levels are getting. And some levels get, you know, like tier one doesn't have any live Q&As with me. Tier two has one live Q&A a month with me, and tier three has two live Q&As with me, where you can ask me anything and I'll answer it. And I'm planning to do more in the future, but for now it's two tops a month. But, you know, and other things too, right? There's audio, visual, there's all kinds of things. So go look. If you're interested, you know, in the Patreon, go look. But here, but and here's all the other things they're getting. So this month, tier one, which is called the inner circle, you're getting journaling. You always get journaling prompts, tier one. I'm always going to give you journaling prompts. So for recognize, these are for recognizing codependency and boundary red flags and dating. Okay. You're also getting a reflection guide that I'm calling, is this a red flag or am I overthinking? Because I know that's often a problem. Okay. Tier two, which is my love accelerator, gets everything that tier one gets, plus a red flag tracker worksheet, a script library for hard conversations, and a voice memo challenge. So it's about practicing boundary setting. There's like a voice memo. It's a little challenge I created where you use voice memos. I know, I got to get creative, right? Got to keep you interested. That's tier two, the love accelerator. Tier three, my VIP love lab, of course, gets everything that tier one and tier two get. Plus, you're getting a guided meditation for strengthening boundaries in dating. You're getting breaking the pattern, recognizing boundary violations in past relationships, that you, and you're getting that worksheet. Okay? I know. I know. I try to give a lot each month so you could really go deep on these. You can, again, if this is a topic that has a lot of interest for you, that you can dive in and really feel like I'm getting kind of therapy in this area. I am uncovering things. And if you're in the Patreon community, you could then do that and then come in and ask something on a live Q&A about it to deepen your understanding. You could just leave something in the community chats about it, asking for other people's feedback and mine. So, you know, there's just a place to speak more about the things you're learning in the episodes, which I think is really kind of fun and cool. All right. That is definitely it for this week for everybody now. Really appreciate you being here with me. I know you have a lot of ways you can spend your time. I love, love, love spending time with you. It's why I'm really, I don't know, loving that damn Patreon community because I love going in there every day. I'm like, oh, I get to go. I'm going to go look in Patreon. I often look multiple times a day. So it's not like a job for me. If it ever becomes a job for me, I probably won't do it anymore because I would never want to be like that with you. So I can't guarantee that'll never happen, but I hope, I don't know. We're off to a great start. It's been a few months and I'm still really excited about it. So I love you. If no one's told you today, have an amazing week and I will talk to you very, very soon. Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful confidence. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.